This is Hour 2 of Seems Like Old Times. I'm Craig Orndorff. Happy weekend, everybody. Hope it's a great one wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And thanks for coming back for part 2 of the show. On the way, we have more Halloween songs. That's right. We've got the spooky and scary records out from the music vault while we munch on a little trick-or-treat candy. Yeah, I know what you're doing there. It's okay to admit it. I'm doing it myself, actually. Oh, and by the way, I have the full-size candy bar. Yeah, none of these quote-unquote fun-size candies. I don't have time for that. I have plenty of time for the countdown, though, and we're going back to late October, early November, 1939. Well, I mentioned back in the last hour that this was the year that Glenn Miller became a superstar, and the big change was in the orchestral arrangement. He developed what was called the reed sound, four saxophones and a clarinet, complemented by a soaring brass section. That sound came alive in his theme song, Moonlight Serenade, and his popularity has grown astronomically ever since. And also helping tremendously was a summer stay at the Glen Island Casino, which was carried three nights a week to a nationwide radio audience. And the burst in popularity has led to five number ones since the beginning of summer. And one of those songs that's still on the chart this week is Blue Orchids. Of Ray Eberle and the tenor sax of Tex Beneke. That was the Glenn Miller Orchestra with Blue Orchids. Song number 5 on your hit parade this weekend in 1939, on its way down after a week at number 1. Today it's late October, 86 years gone by. And here in the USA, commercial production has been good recently, but there's not a lot of buying. Montgomery Ward and Sears are slumping after booming last year. It's estimated that there's $1 billion worth of inventory nationwide. It was a great summer growing season for tobacco, too good. When the crop came to market, the prices staggered under the surplus. And then, Britain's Imperial Tobacco Company stepped out of the market, and they usually buy up about a third of the crop. From the White House, President Roosevelt has announced that Thanksgiving will be moved from November 30th to the 23rd. He said many had urged the change to create more space between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's welcome news to retailers, but a headache for the football schedulers, and disapproval has come from Plymouth, Massachusetts. Now, some states have decided to celebrate it on the 23rd, some will stay with the 30th. Texas and Colorado will celebrate Thanksgiving on both days. The kids like that, they get an extra day off of school. And this year's new Miss America is Patricia Donnelly of Michigan. She's 5'7", weighs 126, and the tail of the tape, 36-25-34. Now she has the perfect numbers for a dancing partner. And maybe some lucky young fella can take her once around the ballroom floor. To song number 4 this weekend in 1939, once again it's the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Marion Hutton sings The Man with the Mandolin. Glenn Miller's band and The Man with the Mandolin. And the man who played the mandolin on that was Richard Fisher. And on the vocals, it was Marion Hutton on that former three-week number one record.
Nearly all toothpaste comes in a tube, keeps fresh, and is pleasant enough to taste. You can expect this from any toothpaste. But Pepsodent toothpaste has all of this, plus an important something the others haven't got. The extra something is Irium. That's the lively super addition that steps up Pepsodent's action, brightens the result. Irium helps Pepsodent remove the unattractive surface stains that cloud over your smile. It brings out the natural luster. At least twice a day, night and morning, every day of your life, brush your teeth with Pepsodent toothpaste with Irium, and you'll quickly be rewarded. It won't be long before you'll say, "I never dreamed my teeth could sparkle so. I never knew my mouth could feel so fresh, so clean." It certainly feels grand to have well-groomed teeth.
That was Bill Goodwin, the announcer of the Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope. Well, we're back on the countdown now from this weekend in 1939. And earlier, we mentioned the Bob Crosby Orchestra. Well, here they are at number 3, with Day In, Day Out. Singing is Helen Ward.
Day in, day out, the same old hoodoo follows me about. The same old pounding in my heart whenever I think of you. And darling, I think of you day in and day out. Day out, day in. possibility in view. That possibility of maybe seeing you. Come rain, come shine, I meet you and to me the day. A thousand drums. Can't you see it's love? Can there be any doubt when there it is, day in, day out?
Bob Crosby Orchestra with Benny Goodman's former girl singer, Helen Ward, Day In, Day Out. And Helen Ward is pretty much a freelance singer now. She doesn't tour, but she's making records whenever she wants with a number of different bands. She's still a favorite with the public, and it worked out well for Bob Crosby, as Day In, Day Out is the group's third number one record, and it sits at number three this week. And now it's movie time. Let's see what's playing up on the silver screen this weekend in 1939, a great year for Hollywood. And we start with the short subjects, and the cartoon Naughty Neighbors stars Porky and Petunia Pig as sweeties of feuding families. From our gang, there's Dad for a Day, the Rascals play matchmakers. And the latest from the Three Stooges, Oily to Bed, Oily to Rise. Curly seems to get everything he wishes for in this one.
Hey, look! A rooster bar!
You don't mean a crowbar.
Well, don't a rooster crow?
All right, some serials now. Nancy Drew and the Hidden Staircase with Benita Granville. That would be the last of the Nancy Drew series. And Sidney Toler stars as Charlie Chan at Treasure Island. And you gotta have a Western. How about Johnny Mac Brown in Oklahoma Frontier? And to the main features, The Spy in Black with Conrad Veidt. The Private Lives of Elizabeth and Essex with a big cast. Betty Davis, Errol Flynn, Olivia de Havilland, Donald Crisp, Alan Hale, Vincent Price. The Rains Came stars Myrna Loy and Tyrone Power. Intermezzo has Leslie Howard and Ingrid Bergman. There's Drums Along the Mohawk with Claudette Colbert and Henry Fonda. The Roaring Twenties with Cagney, Bogey, and Priscilla Lane. Hitchcock's Jamaica Inn with Maureen O'Hara, Robert Newton, and Charles Laughton. And Frank Capra's Mr. Smith Goes to Washington with Claude Rains, Gene Arthur, and Jimmy Stewart.
You think I'm licked? You all think I'm licked? Well, I'm not licked. And I'm going to stay right here and fight for this lost cause, even if this room gets filled with lies like these.
And for some chuckles, there's Fast and Furious with Franco Tone, Ann Southern, and Ruth Hussey. The Women, an all-female cast led by Norma Shearer. The Marx Brothers are at the circus. Laurel and Hardy are the Flying Deuces. And there's Nanotchka with Melvin Douglas and Greta Garbo.
I'm interested only in the shortest distance between these two points. Must you flirt?
Well, I don't have to, but I find it natural.
Suppress it.
I'll try.
And the musicals, Honeymoon in Bali with Fred McMurray, Madeline Carroll, and Alan Jones, Bing Crosby and the Star Maker, Hollywood Cavalcade, starring Alice Faye and Don Ameche, and the blockbuster film of the late summer, early fall 1939, and as it would turn out, one of the biggest of all time, MGM's The Wizard of Oz, with Ray Bolger, Jack Haley, Burt Lahr, and of course, Judy Garland.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh, why can't I? Fly beyond the rainbow. Why, oh, why can't I?
You know, Over the Rainbow almost didn't make the final cut of The Wizard of Oz. After a screening, MGM chief Louis B. Mayer and producer Mervyn LeRoy thought it was a drag on the picture. But associate producer Arthur Freed and Judy Garland's vocal coach Roger Edens insisted that the song remain in the film, and it became one of the most beloved songs of all time. The music by Harold Arlen, the lyrics from Yip Harburg, and that commercial recording of Over the Rainbow by Judy Garland with the Victor Young Orchestra made it to number 5 on the chart, and by association made it to number 1, which I'll tell you about a little bit later. But it's the song that everybody was singing in October of 1939, and we're listening to the memories on Seems Like Old Times. Today on Seems Like Old Times, we're having fun with Halloween. We've got scary records on the turntable today, and really, they're not that scary. For instance, this apparition likes to dance with Fred Astaire, Me and the Ghost Upstairs.
Oft upon the midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary, from a long trip on the Erie, comes a rapping at my chamber door. It's an ectoplasmic tapping that disturbs my nightly napping, like a shroud that's gently flapping, emanating from the second floor. Buddies are we, me and the ghost upstairs, sipping our tea, me and the ghost upstairs. But he's inclined to moan when left alone, so I think of things that'll tickle his funny bone. Lonely old ghost upstairs. Regular folks dropping our worldly cares, swapping our jokes, me and the ghost upstairs. And then he slaps his shroud and laughs out loud, and he says, oh boy, that'll paralyze all the crowd. Jolly old ghost upstairs. He's quite a cook. He serves a beautiful drink. He wrote a book, and with invisible ink I took a look, and the title, upon my faith, was The Groups of Wraith. Once in a while he brings a gang of friends, does it in style, careless of what he spends. And oh, the place is small, we have a ball, cause you know those spooks don't require no room at all. We have some mighty fine affairs, me and the ghost upstairs.
Thank you.
mighty fine affair, me and the ghost upstairs.
Fred Astaire, Me and the Ghost Upstairs. Now that was a ghost song in more than one way. The subject matter, and also because it was recorded for and then deleted from the film Second Chorus in 1940. So it really wasn't there. Oh, but you know you saw something. Makes it kind of spooky, doesn't it? Kind of like this place, The House is Haunted, from Glenn Gray and the Casaloma Orchestra.
The house is haunted by memories that refuse to die. I can't get away from a vision that brings intimate glimpses of intimate things. A voice in my heart like a chart singer sings. I wonder who's kissing her now. The house is haunted by the echo of your favorite song. The place is cluttered up with roses that have lived too long, much too long. The ceiling is white, but the shadows are black. A ghost in my heart says she'll never come back. The house is haunted by the echo of your last goodbye.
From 1934, Glenn Gray and the Casaloma Orchestra featuring Kenny Sargent on the vocals, and The House is Haunted. Yeah, the memory of a past romance can be a nightmare, can it? Or drive you a little crazy, as portrayed here by Spike Jones.
My whole flame, I can't even think of her name. But it's funny now and then how my thoughts go flashing back again to my old flame. I've met so many who had fascinating ways, a fascinating gaze in their eyes. Some who took me up to the skies, but their attempts at love were only imitations of my old flame. I can't even think of her name, but I'll never be the same until I discover what became of my old flame.
Even think of her name. I'll have to look through my collection of human heads. But it's funny now and then how my thoughts go flashing back again to my old flame. My old flame. My new lovers all seem so tame. They won't even let me strangle them. For I haven't met a girl so magnificent or elegant as my old flame. I've met so many who had fascinating ways, a fascinating gaze in their eye. I saw this eye, so I removed the other eye, that eye that kept winking and blinking at other men. Some who took me up to the skies. But their attempts at love were only imitations of my old flame. I can't even think of her name. Wait, what was her name? Doris, Laura, Chloe, Manny, Mo, Jack. No, it couldn't have been Mo. I can't stand it, I tell you. This is driving me sane. She would always treat me mean, so I poured a can of gasoline and struck a match to... my old...
Spike Jonze and his City Slickers with their take on My Old Flame, a 1947 recording. The street singer was Paul Judson, and doing the Peter Lorre impersonation was Paul Frees. We're listening to Records Beside the Jack-O-Lantern today on Seems Like Old Times. This is Seems Like Old Times. I'm Craig Orndorff. Today we've gone back to the end of October in 1939. And now let's take a look at sports. In baseball this year, the Reds won the National League pennant. 2 years ago, they were in the basement. They won by 4.5 over the Cardinals. For the Yankees, it was business as usual, winning by 17 games, and then they swept the Reds in the World Series. Charlie Keller had 3 homers and 6 RBIs for the Bombers. Joe DiMaggio batted .381 this year. Rookie Ted Williams drove in 145. Bob Feller became the youngest to win 20 games, and the aforementioned Redlegs were led by their 1-2 pitching combination. Bucky Walters won 27, Paul Derringer 25. And baseball was on television back in August, and the Reds were involved there in a game against the Brooklyn Dodgers at Ebbets Field. Not too many people saw it. In the NFL, week number 9 in the Giants' 9-game winning streak ended with a loss to the Lions 18-14 on a pass by Dwight Paddlefoot Sloan to Kent Ryan. The Redskins beat the Steelers 7-6 on a Sammy Ball pass to Charlie Malone and Bo Russell's PAT. The Lions now lead the West by a game because Green Bay fell to the Bears 30-27. Bill Osmanski's run was the difference in that one. Now, despite the Giants losing this weekend, they won the division but got clobbered by the Packers in the championship game as Green Bay got some revenge for the 38 title tilt. College football, last year's national champions, Texas Christian, a mere shadow of what they were. This year's team is Texas A&M and halfback Jim Kimbrough. The number one team this weekend is Tennessee. They beat number 18 LSU 20-0, went unbeaten, untied, and unscored upon, but finished runner-up for the second straight year. Then they went to the Rose Bowl and got shut out by Southern Cal. And the Heisman Trophy winner this year would be Iowa's Niall Kinnick. And in boxing, Joe Louis is the heavyweight champ of the world. That's a check on sports from this weekend in 1939, and we're back on the countdown at number 2, and we go south of the border with the Shep Fields Orchestra.
South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love when stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray south of the border, down Mexico way. She was a picture in old Spanish lace. Just for a tender while, I kissed the smile upon her face. For it was fiesta, and we were so gay. South of the border, down Mexico way. Then she sighed as she whispered, "Mañana, never dreaming that we were parting. And I lied as I whispered mañana, for our tomorrow never came. South of the border, I rode back one day. There in a veil of white, by candlelight she knelt to pray. The mission bells told me that I mustn't stay. South of the border, down Mexico way.
This time when swing was king, the Sweet Bands were still doing well, like Shep Fields and his Rippling Rhythm Orchestra. With vocals by Hal Derwin, that was South of the Border. That's at number two this week in 1939. Next week it takes the top spot and holds it for 5 weeks. The seventh and final number one hit for Shep Fields. Well, if we're in 1939, the radio is on, and some of the new shows we're listening to this year, there's Blondie, also the Aldrich Family. Dinah Shore has a 15-minute show now. There's Mr. District Attorney, the soap opera The Right to Happiness, and debuting on Monday is Hedda Hopper's Hollywood. Well, some of our favorites include Ma Perkins in the afternoon, along with Vic and Sade, also Backstage Wife and the Goldbergs, Kate Smith at noon, Jack Armstrong in the afternoon for the kids. In primetime, Wednesday night, we don't miss One Man's Family or Kay Kaiser's College of Musical Knowledge. Major Bowes on Thursday, then Bing Crosby right after that. Monday nights belong to Lux Radio Theater. And the Sunday lineup on NBC Red, Jack Benny, Toby Reed, and the number one rated show this year, The Chase and Sanborn Hour with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
But Charlie,
uh-huh.
You're impulsive, you're irresponsible, you're selfish, and you have an exaggerated conception of the value of money.
Ladies and gentlemen, the opinions expressed by Mr. Bergen are entirely his own. Mr. Bergen, I don't think you like me as much as you used to.
Well, you're mistaken about that, Charlie. Your latest episode has caused me a great deal of worry.
It has?
Yes. I lie awake night after night thinking of you.
Do you, dear?
All right.
Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy from the Chase and Sanborn Hour, this Sunday night, 1939. Well, here's another Charlie as we give you a bonus spin from this weekend, 86 years ago. It's Charlie Barnett, and his brand new one was Cherokee. Thank you. Ray Noble composed Cherokee, and it became the theme song for the Charlie Barnett Orchestra. The jazz fans were loving it here in the autumn of 1939, and it would be one of the classics of the big band era. Oh, and we just happened to have a Charlie Barnett Halloween song. This came from the following year, 1940, with vocals by Marianne McCall. You Got Me Voodooed. Recorded March 21st, 1940, Charlie Barnett and his orchestra, You've Got Me Voodooed. And his girl singer was Marianne McCall. We're celebrating Halloween on today's Seems Like Old Times. We're rounding the turn and heading for home on today's Seems Like Old Times. But before we go, a reminder about the show website, oldtimesradio.com. Go there to check out our show schedule, our list of affiliates, and the Listen Now page. We have previous shows on demand there, so after you've heard the show on your favorite local radio station, head on over to the website. You can hear it again. Be sure to follow Seems Like Old Times on Facebook and Twitter, and the email address, Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at oldtimesradio.com. Let me know that you're listening. Love to hear from you. All right, here's our final Halloween song of the day. It's Louis Armstrong and Skeleton in the Closet.
Boy, don't you go in there. Come out of there, boy. Don't you know that house is haunted? It's an old deserted mansion on an old forgotten road where the better ghosts and goblins always hang out. One night they threw a party in a manner a la mode, and they cordially invited all the gang out. At a dark, bewitching hour, when the fun was loud and hearty, a notorious wallflower became the life of the party. The spooks were having their midnight fling. The merrymaking was in full swing. They shrieked themselves into a cheerful trance. When the skeleton in the closet started to dance. Now a goblin giggled with fiendish glee A shout rang out from a big banshee. Amazement was in every ghostly glance when Skeleton in the closet started to dance. All the witches were in stitches while his steps made rhythmic thumps, and they nearly dropped their broomstick when he tried to do the bumps. You never heard such an ugly laughter, such hilarious groan, when Skeleton in closet rattled his
1936, Louis Armstrong, backed up by the Jimmy Dorsey Orchestra and Skeleton in the Closet, as we've been enjoying some Halloween records today on Seems Like Old Times. And now we're up to the number one song from the final weekend of October in 1939. But first, a few more news headlines. In war news, a hopeful turn in negotiations this weekend between Finland and the Soviet Union is reported, after the Soviets had been described as prepared to resort to extreme measures in their land swap proposal. They're giving up twice as much land to the Finns in exchange for sea bases on the Hango Peninsula and the warm water port of Petsamo. The Soviets are demanding that the Finns push back their frontier from Leningrad. Finland would reject those demands, make a counteroffer, but negotiations were all intents and purposes finished, and by the end of the month, Finland and the Soviets would be at war. Now, the Soviet Union has become the other issue in the war. After Hitler invaded Western Poland on September 1st, the Soviets invaded the Eastern Territories on September 17th. Back in August, Hitler and Stalin had agreed to a non-aggression pact, but it wasn't known that the two had decided to divide Poland. And now the two countries share a border, and the question is, will their alliance last? Now, with the outbreak of war in Europe, the issue of a third term for Franklin Roosevelt is a hot topic of debate. People are saying this is not a time for politics, and he should end the debate now and declare if he'll run again. A Gallup poll says that present-day Democrats, who traditionally have objected to the idea of a third-term president, has 4 out of 5 saying that FDR is their choice for 1940. If FDR doesn't run, VP John Garner is their next choice. And of all voters, 52% say they'd vote for Roosevelt if the war is going on next year. And the president this week has ordered the United States Customs Service to implement the Neutrality Act, allowing cash and carry purchases of weapons to non-belligerent nations. Additionally, he has named combat zones the North Sea, Baltic Sea, English Channel, and all waters surrounding the British Isles and Ireland, and the Bay of Biscay in Spain. All American shipping is barred from these specific areas, and U.S. ships are barred from ports in France, Great Britain, and Germany.
By the repeal of the embargo, the United States will more probably remain at peace than if the law remains as it stands today. I say this because with the repeal of the embargo, this government clearly and definitely will insist that American citizens and American ships keep away from the immediate perils of the actual zones of conflict.
President Franklin Roosevelt on the implementation of the Neutrality Act, which passed this week in 1939. And in the music world, as mentioned before, the meteoric rise of the Glenn Miller Orchestra. The icing on the cake of his skyrocketing popularity came earlier this month in a concert at Carnegie Hall. It was a night the critics hailed as Miller's defining moment. His program ranged from full-scale swing to soft and romantic. And it included his brand new piece, which was about to go gangbusters, In the Mood. But the song that was at number one on the chart this week was a tune that we heard earlier. It would become Judy Garland's signature song, but it was only number one for the Glenn Miller Band, Over the Rainbow.
Upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me, somewhere over the rainbow. Skies are blue, birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh why can't I?
Now, while Judy Garland's version of Over the Rainbow is the one that has lasted down through the years, Glenn Miller's recording was actually the bestseller at the time. Now, on the Your Hit Parade chart, they were more concerned about the song and not the artist. So personally, I think Garland should get credit for a number one as well. But as far as units sold here in the fall of 1939, it's all Glenn Miller. With vocals by Ray Eberly, Over the Rainbow spent 7 weeks at number one, including this weekend in 1939. Well, that's it for this week's show, everybody. We are all out of time. It's been great having you here, and I'll see you again next week. And until then, this is Craig Orndorff saying so long for Seems Like Old Times.